right, guys. Hey, thank you so much. Welcome back to the What Are You Doing podcast, the podcast of the Next Gen podcast of the Arizona Mission Network of Southern Baptists.
It's been a long time. I think you forgot.
It's been a long time. Yeah, we're so sorry for how long it's been since our last episode. I had a baby, which is why I have been gone and out on leave. John almost died, so that was pretty exciting, hospital and stuff. And then you fled the country, right?
I went to Colorado for Thanksgiving.
Right, you fled the country. So, yeah, we've just kind of been all over the place for the last couple months. So sorry, but we're back.
That's how life happens. Ministry and all of the things all at once. I was trying to come up with the words, and it was like, that's just how it is.
Yep. That was a really good sentence.
It's been a minute.
It's been a minute. All right. So as we get back in the swing of things, today we're going to be talking about missions. How do we teach youth about missions involvement? And then also kind of the second part of that is how do we expose them to opportunities to be involved in mission? So let's tackle those kind of one at a time. So in terms of like teaching and educating and helping students understand what is mission and even like the personal connotation of what it means for them to be a part of God's mission. What do y'all got?
I think this will be great. I think John and I have two different perspectives on it because I'm leading different mission trips throughout the year with students and enjoy doing that. But like John's got a unique and specific calling to missions, and how he approaches it even with his students is probably radically different than how mine is. Mm. So John, I'm actually curious if you say some words and I could just bounce off it and it makes me sound a little smarter.
Well, so I think in general, just teaching about missions, you need to put it in front of people a lot. Mm-hmm. There needs to be a recognition of the broader world. What we've done is we actually use the IMB Pray app, and we use that every single week with our youth students. So I have a little wheel that's up in the Bible study classroom, and I have all the different affinities that the IMB uses, and every month we'll shift it by one. So we pray for all the affinities. So we've actually recently, we've prayed through all of them and gone all the way around. And whatever is the prayer of the day for that affinity, whatever is like the newest one, we'll pray for that. Mm-hmm. What's been really, really cool with that is sometimes there are people that I know. So it's like, oh, guys, this is like, I know this person, you know, we went on this mission trip and then, you know, let me tell you more about these people. That's super, super cool. Mm-hmm. The other part is there are often those prayer requests where they're actually like a follow-up. So if it's a follow-up one, we'll look up the original, and sometimes it's been something that we were praying for, and now we're getting to see the completion of. So like I have in the Bible study classroom that kind of little wheel. We also have a map that shows the whole world, and it's actually color-coordinated to show the affinities and where they're broken up. Mm-hmm. These are all things that I just got off the IMB website. So if you need help finding those things, like reach out to us. I'd love to connect you to that.
Do you put everything? IMB being the International Mission Board, the International Missions Arm of the Southern Baptist Convention.
That's right.
That's a subtle plug. Do you put them on one of those like Wheel of Fortune spin, test your luck wheel? Like that would be more cool. Start spinning it and be like, passed over the one we keep passing over. Looks like they're not getting prayed for this week. Like test your luck next time.
Yeah, we do keep it at a rotation.
I'm saying you should rotate it like every day. Like spin it.
That'd be funny. But no, it's really, really cool because, you know, the students, you know, we have a rhythm of prayer in our Bible study where, you know, there's a particular time where it's prayer. Kids can volunteer to pray for, like, the prayer requests of their friends, the praises of their friends, and that kind of stuff. The one that people usually volunteer to pray for first is praying for the nations, mm-hmm. is the category we put it in. So that's been a really cool thing. One of the things I'll look for, too, is if there are any prayer requests that are youth or young adult specific, and very often there are. Mm-hmm. So, like, I remember there were a few Sundays where it's, you know, we're praying for a girl that is a similar age to a lot of you in here. That was really, really meaningful. Just putting that in front of them, and that's something we do every single week. That's super, super helpful. The other thing I think I've tried to do is just cultivating a culture of evangelism. So for the last semester, at the beginning of, you know, every Wednesday night youth group, we would talk about, you know, who did you share the gospel with? How did you try to share? We've actually had where students have been able to talk to more people And they've had those interactions more and more. So it's been super duper cool with that. Is I think it's catching the idea and talking about, hey, this is what the missionaries are doing over there. Here's what we're supposed to do over here. Mm. And talking about the Great Commission, and you are a part of the Great Commission. The way that God wants to reach to the people around you is actually you. So I think that's more of the practical application here. But I think talking about missions and having prayed for missions for so long,
that's a big deal.
Yeah, I think it's really helped that a lot.
Yeah, yeah. We, I found, and I love that you guys pray as constantly as you do. I've found that one of the biggest things that have helped our students have a global perspective, I think is probably the right word, is just taking them and forcing them into situations that are very, very different than us. We drive 6 hours south and go to, you know, Mexico and build houses there, but it's, I always have to laugh a little bit because I grew up going on mission trips and I'm sort of aware of some of these things, but I've taken like seniors in high school just to Mexico. And you know, we crossed the border and now they can't hardly understand anything. The streets look different. You can't pet the dog. That's always like such a big deal. Apparently when we go to Mexico, like all the kids are like, oh, but it's so cute. And I'm like, do not touch that dog. Like I can see the mange on it. Like, please. There's the income gap, and there are various levels of poverty. Even just where we go in Mexico, you can drive into the city where the cruise ship stops and see, like, hey, this is just like downtown LA. And then you go, you know, 5 minutes further south where we're building a house, and it's like these people are living under a tarp. So exposing them to a lot of that, I feel, has, like, opened up, especially the students that go, but just our youth group in general has this understanding, like, We are very lucky with the things that we have, and we are very privileged by a lot of that. How can we use what we have, especially just resources, I think, is probably the easiest thing sometimes for students to recognize that they have. Like, I can lift up a wall and build a house in 3 days, like, no big deal, and see the gospel impact that that has. So even with Mexico, we really try to emphasize, like, we're not the ones that are going to share the gospel with these people in a way that's like life changing. And I hardly speak any Spanish. I can sometimes order food for the 20 of us that go. But to showcase to them, hey, we're partnering with mission organizations everywhere, not just in Mexico, but, we're partnering with people that are going to stay and continue to be the boots on the ground that are sharing the gospel, planting churches, getting those people that maybe we're building houses for or that we've reached out to in our short time there, getting them plugged into churches. Like, we're just extra hands to help with a lot of that. Mm-hmm. It night and day coming back with a group of teenagers from a trip like that is huge. Yeah. So
I want to save our discussion of how to take students on stuff like that for later.
Lots of prayer, yeah. and lots of energy drinks.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to ask you some more questions about that in a little bit, but I think you were talking about them seeing poverty like that for the first time, and just reminded me of a story that I thought was so comical several years ago at Zona Camp, doing mission life. Some of our students did the mission track at Zona, so they spent, you know, 4 hours of their day.
It's off-site. Mission experience, by the way.
Is it mission experience Thank now? You. Rebrand? Thank okay, you. My bad. Mm-hmm. If this releases before January, then it won't be missions experience yet. That's awkward.
We'll it's just
okay.
be careful with our release schedule.
That's right. Yeah. But during missions experience, the students, you know, go off to these different organizations in the greater Anaheim area.
Riverside
yep. area, yeah. Yep. And do all sorts of projects, right? Volunteer projects. And so food banks, and we partnered with homeless shelters and even like foster homes and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget that this one student in particular came back to our debrief time, and we're talking about, you know, what was impactful, what was meaningful, what did you see, what did you learn? And you know, it's Riverside.
Right.
So it's a certain socioeconomic level. And she goes, man, I have never seen poverty before.
Yeah, I always like have to laugh at those. Man, every year. Somebody always comes back in and is like, wow, these poor people. And I'm like, you went 2 minutes down the road and clean out somebody's garage. Like, this is not poverty. Yeah. Yeah. And it blows my mind.
But I think there's an important truth there that it's not always, in terms of educating students about mission and reaching people, it's not always, you know, can we take them to this disaster relief area where you know, the hurricanes destroyed everything? Mm. It's, can we take them to something that's a little bit outside of their normal context?
Yeah.
You know, can we expose them in terms of information and prayer, or even in terms of being able to take them and show them and give them an experience? Are we able to take them outside their normal context to see something new? Mm. I think that's, you know, planning a whole trip to Mexico for some youth groups is going to be just not practical, not realistic.
Way too expensive sometimes too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But that's not the goal. It's not that thing. It's what is a way we can move the needle in helping them understand the world around them is bigger than just them.
Absolutely. We used to go to New Mexico. Growing up, we would go to New Mexico and serve just a very small Navajo population there. And it was super impactful for me as a kid because it's, again, a couple hours away from where I grew up, and yet a huge difference in lifestyle and even religion to some extent, and like all of these different things, just the exposure made a huge difference. Yeah. So, yeah.
And I think those international missions are awesome. Mm-hmm. I love those. Those are super, super cool. Okay. But realistically, if you are someone that's in maybe a smaller context, or, you know, you're the one-man show, doing those kind of more like, you know, within your state or a state over sort of things, those are huge because those still open people's eyes. Like, I remember as a high school student, we went and did work in some railroad towns. It was Barstow, Barstow, California, and getting to do stuff there. I was familiar with it because my dad grew up in one of those kind of towns. But a lot of other people, it was like, whoa, this is poverty. And that really took them outside their comfort zone. It saw them a different way that people lived. And, you know, the church in that area, they weren't able to run a VBS. So what we did was we went and we were VBS that week.
Those are huge. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. I still have awesome stories from mission life, mission experience. Of a couple of years ago of helping a church plant that had just started put on a VBS. Those are huge. Small things like that are huge. And we, even initially when we started going to Mexico, and I just wanted to throw this in, like, we partnered with other churches to help with that cost as well. Like, there's definitely help with some of those in-state things too, but don't think like you have to do missions alone. Because then it really limits what you can do. Not everybody can send a team to Africa or Asia or Europe or something every year, but maybe you and the three churches in your area can muster up enough to go build a house in Mexico or to help with the VBS. And California feels like an international mission trip, but like you can go do some of those things and still make an impact for the gospel in a way that you might not be able to on your own. So
And I think it's just so critical that we educate teenagers, because I think it does two big things. I think it gives them a broader picture of what the church is, right? A lot of times in youth ministry, and probably in big church ministry too, it becomes really easy for us to think about church in terms of our church context. And that's the goal, is helping our church grow and helping our church do ministry and helping our church. And it becomes location-centric ministry, right?
Right.
And by and large, you know, God has called us to a place to minister and to do. And so a lot of that stuff's really good, but we forget sometimes, I think, that it's not just about us.
Yes.
You know, if God's called these students to be here, then that's great. They should be there and they should plug in. They should be part of that youth group. But we also want them to have a picture of God's work in other places.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think it also, along with that bigger view, I think it also gives them a different idea of what service is. You know, it's really easy to give students a chance to serve in the church. You know, they can join the greet team, or they can maybe help play in the worship team, or move some chairs. There we go. That's right.
Yep.
Set up, tear down. So there are some like in church service opportunities we can give them that are really easy. But helping them also understand that part of God's plan for the church in being a display of the gospel of the world is that the church also serves others, you know. It's not just within the walls of the church. It's also outside the walls of the church. And so I think those are just two big things that teaching, educating, and inviting to experience missions for students is really important.
Yeah, yeah. I think even with that, and this might even lead more into how do you plan a trip and do all that, but like inviting the church to also be a part of those things, I feel like has made a huge difference for us. We don't just take youth on some of these trips, and it's allowed for that inclusion. You know, we've talked before about how important it is to make sure that the youth feel like they're a part of the church. But it's also allowed for one of my favorite people in our whole church has gone to Mexico, and he was not wanting to initially at first. He was very like, I'm not going down there. I'm not taking my nice new truck down there. There's nothing I can contribute. He's one of our deacons, and now he is a primary lead on all of these trips and is like, I'm probably moving to a different state here soon, and yet I'm going to come back to help with this trip.
Yeah.
Because he loves that he can take some of the younger guys or girls that are in our group, you know, from 8 years old to 18 years old, and show them like, hey, this is actually how you swing a hammer. I've done years and years of contract work. Like, it becomes a greater church thing. We're helping, you know, the entirety of the community. We're forcing our students to then also see like God's not just moving in our church, but then it also invites people that are in the church. Hey, let's pour into each other and grow these relationships there. We've partnered with other churches, and it's never a competition. Sometimes it's like who can put the house up the fastest or something like that. But it's like, hey, we're trying to make a bigger impact for the gospel. It's not I need to do better than you or you need to do better than me. I think that's the entire goal of the IMB as well is like, let's partner together to do this, because sharing the gospel is not a competition. It's a goal. It's a mindset that we need to have moving forward. So yeah.
Cooperation.
Absolutely. And it can be from youth. I mean, I think last year we took a seven-year-old to Mexico, like up through senior adults. There was an 86-year-old guy on the trip this last year. Like you can do all these things, and it's awesome. But like it shows everybody, hey, this is all of our goals, and this is why all of us are doing it.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Well, second part of all this discussion what kinds of things, why is it important to educate students about ministry, about mission work. And how can we do that? What are the highlights of that? Second part of that is how, right? The practical, how do we expose them to missions? And I do want to get a little bit into the nitty gritty of what that looks like, because I think there are a lot of moving parts. You know, you said it takes a lot of Red Bull. I think there are a lot of moving parts, and I think it's kind of an intimidating idea to invite particularly minors into an out of context experience, to go and serve, you know? And so Seth, I know your guys' work in Mexico, you guys have seen a lot of that. And John, I know that you had some neat experiences as a youth student, even going and doing some of that stuff. So just logistically, how do you make that happen?
You just really hope nobody gets hurt. And if they do, you just leave them there. Cause the paperwork is way too long.
We didn't take 18. We only took 16, I promise.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Only 16 crossed the border.
I'm sorry that your kid didn't come home. He's still in the ocean. No, I'm kidding. I'm sorry. We've done a lot of different things kind of navigating what that looks like. I think it's based on your church from like the legal standpoint of you're taking kids, at least in our context, like out of the country, even sometimes out of the state changes some of those things. So clarify with insurance and parents and make sure you have all the paperwork and medical releases. I mean, we don't even let people without a passport go down to Mexico, even though, you know, you could roll up to the border and 9 times out of 10, you're fine if you just have a driver's license. But we kind of put all those safety precautions up, but we also emphasize like we're going somewhere that's not your small suburb in North Phoenix. Like it's just, there are dangers and there are things at stake. One thing that we found that helps with that issue specifically, we can get into all the nitty gritty of everything else, is also encouraging parents to go. So I have some parents that are like all in, just take my kid, let's go. Like, I can't wait for them to see this. I can't get off a week of work, but I want them to go. And they send them no problem. And then I have other parents that are very timid. Like, I see the importance of this, but my kid's too young, or, you know, what if this happens? There's always a million what if questions. And so I usually actually encourage, like, hey, why don't you also pray about this and see if this is something that you can go on? A lot of the conversations I've had with some of those parents are like, they're not actually uncomfortable that their kid is going, and usually their kid's not that uncomfortable about it. They're just uncomfortable about it themselves. Mm. So like the first year we went to Mexico, I had a mom come with us, and she was just very like, I don't know how I feel about this. This is really weird. If we're honest, it was, you know, right at the end of a presidency, and what do we do with the politics behind all of it? Mm. And she was just totally afraid. And so I sat down with her and started having conversations. It was like, both your kids are like, we really want to go. We'd prefer this over, you know, going to camp this year. Mm-hmm. And I asked her, I was like, what is your hesitation? She's like, I just don't know how I would do down there. And I was like, well, it sounds like you are coming too then, and we're going to navigate it. And now she's like, I don't know why I was ever so worried. Why would I not come back? Like, things along those lines too. So just encourage the parents to go. Build out a strong team too. Like, I'm not usually just saying I'm the only person that's going over. We usually bring a couple of staff, and we brought, you know, a handful of the elders before too, tons of deacons. Like, we've got people that have built before. We've got many people that have been out of the country before. Like, when you look at your core team of who's going, and you can say, hey, like, I'm the youth guy, but I've also gone on this many mission trips, and I've led this one before, or I've been down there and visited before, or something like that. This guy has done carpentry for years. This guy, like, served in international missions before. Like, it really starts to highlight, especially to the parents who you're having to convince when you're taking minors, hey, this is doable. They've thought this through. Probably all the what ifs that I have, they've also already answered. Like, it makes a big difference. So that's like the scary logistics of taking kids to a different country, or even sometimes out of the state. I know there's a lot more to it, but I found that that's helped.
John, you, I think it was just last year, were taking a student to Africa, and I think they'd even turned 18 at that point. They were even had just exited a youth group and were legally an adult, and you still had a conversation with mom trying to talk about the how did you navigate that? What were some of those conversations?
Man, they were fun.
an understatement.
So, I mean, a lot of it for her was just a concern is somebody looking out for my daughter. Because when we're here, you know, I know people are looking out for her. I know people are watching after her. And being able to assure, you know, hey, these are the people. These are the safeguards in place. This is what's going on. There is a system. There's a plan. There's a protocol. That was huge. But also those other trusted adults, you know, and in this situation, it wasn't an opportunity where we could invite, you know, mom, come along. Right. So being able to point to, hey, here's someone that you trust that's going, and we're going to look out for that person.
Right.
That's huge. Right. And just having good policies, good programs in place, you know, on that trip, I can't remember if it was, you always needed a second person or maybe two other people, you know, just having those sort of safeguards in place, like even the same sort of things that we would use during a camp, that puts a lot of people's minds at ease.
More so even if you can like really hammer them down.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
So yeah, just with that one in particular, it was, hey, do you realize that your daughter has these really awesome gifts that other people legitimately don't have?
Yeah.
And she is kind of like it's almost like God's prepared her for such a time as this. There's a gifting that she has that this team needs. And yes, we are going to make sure we take care of your daughter. And she is always going to be in a situation where she's safe. That was the key in that situation for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. Just thinking about how to go about doing it. You know, there's the relational equity with the parents and I don't want to say convincing, but there does need to be, there needs to be enough relationship that we can have some of these conversations honestly. I think we have to be careful too. We don't deceive, right? In terms of, you know, is there danger in going anywhere? Always, sure. And so we don't want to ignore that or deny that, but we also want to highlight for parents in particular when we're talking about ministry to minors, highlight the safeguards and the things are in place. And in both those stories, y'all were working with other organizations.
Yes.
And so I'm going to assume, Seth, I don't know about about the context with Baja Bound, but I assume there's some policies and some stuff in place already that say they are on their end going to make sure you are taking care of and keeping safe everybody who's on that trip.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the – I don't think I could recommend that anyone just like randomly plans a trip on their own and just goes or anything like that. I'm sure there's somebody who could, and they're great at it, and they're more than capable of doing it. I just, man, having an organization that you can go with, whether, again, the IMB is the one organizing a trip alongside, you know, partners that they have on the field. We use Baja Bound for our trip to Ensenada, and they're phenomenal, but it's because they've thought those things through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All the questions that I haven't had, and they've already, like, managed for the last however many years.
Yep.
It was really comforting for us the first year that we went. For myself even, and I've been on trips similar to that, for Baja Bound to reach out and have made a short little video like specifically to our church that's like, hey, just a reminder, we've been doing this for like 22 plus years and we've never had an incident. It's not because we just got lucky, but it's because of the things that we have in place. It made a huge difference with some of our people to say like, they've thought this stuff through. They're not gonna let us fail.
Yeah.
They're not gonna let it be just such a horrible trip that it all falls apart. Things happen, sure, but like even last year, we had to end up sending someone to the hospital, and it was like, yeah, we've got a policy for that. We're gonna make sure it happens well, and we're gonna leave someone from our team there with them to make sure that there's an ongoing translator or somebody that can help fill out paperwork and all of these extra things like. You don't think through all of the stuff, and then when you're out there doing something, you're already go. I mean, we joked about how many Red Bulls you're on, but like you're in full ministry overload. Something happens, like it's easier to fall back onto a policy that somebody else has already put in place than it is for you to have to navigate that all on your own.
And I think that's just a huge thing about planning and executing mission opportunities,
right?
Is there are so many out there.
Yeah.
You know, there are so many that have been tailor-made and ready to go. And I think when we don't take advantage of those and we try to maybe do it on our own and make something up on our own, I think that can get really hard really fast.
Mm.
Again, not impossible, but man, with how many opportunities there are out there of different kinds of projects, different types of places,
right.
You know, it's just there's so many ways, I think, big, small, near, far, to be able to be involved to some degree.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, John, do you have something?
I think with all that, partnership is so, so key. Yeah. You know, if I'm going to go somewhere, like, you know, it's a little bit different if I started to do something that was more local. Let's say I want to go a state over.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't just go a state over and be like, we're going to witness in this random place. I should look for a church and go, where's the actual need? And that's one of the keys with these mission trips and these organizations is they've done that vetting. They understand the need. And when you're explaining the trip to someone, it's not just, we're going to go to Mexico and build houses, which is a great thing to do. That's awesome.
Yeah.
But this is why we're doing this. This is what we're a part of. This is the broader mission and vision. And this is what we're going towards.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And being able to understand that is huge for people to understand, you know, this is how I'm actually a part of the Great Commission. This is how I'm a part of the missionary task and what I'm doing.
Yeah.
It's just so, so important. So having that kind of backbone for the safety and the policy and procedures, but also not to just like, hey, here's a beach with people, let's go talk to people. You know, to have a direction that you're going, that's so, so huge to understand where you fit and what God's doing in that area long term.
Yeah. I think to know too that when you leave, there's still going to be somebody doing that is huge too. Like I've been in situations where you maybe share the gospel on the beach or something like that, and it's like, okay, great. I hope you find someone that can pour into you now because I have to go. I have to go back to where I'm from. And it is really hard mentally to know, like, I have no idea what's going to happen with that. It's way more assuring to, like, have a conversation like that or be in a situation similar to that and be like, even if I leave, there's somebody that's going to pick this up. There's somebody that's, like, ready to go. This is what they're here for. Regardless of if it's a team or just an individual or a church that you're partnering with, if it's in a different state or something, it's like – even helping with VBS and stuff, it's I'm plugging you into the system that someone else has in place to emphasize like what they're doing is extremely important. Especially, and I mean, when we talk about youth, we're usually talking about short-term trips. I'm not saying we're going for months or years or anything. I'm thinking maybe 2 weeks max, you know? So to show the students like when we leave, John, like just like what you were saying, there's somebody doing it when we're gone. That's huge.
And that's the cool thing about partnership too, is right. that when we cooperate, we can see over time, a lot of times,
yes.
what the fruit is. You know, when you go back year after year to Mexico, it's not just we did one trip, we built a house, and we never talk to them, never hear from them again.
Yeah.
We get to hear year to year what is the ministry that's happening as we're continuing to partner.
Yeah.
And so that's just, yeah. And I don't think that every mission opportunity has to be that. You know, is there a place for random one-offs? Is there a place for just going and doing something? Absolutely. And sometimes that's all we have the capacity for,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Is, hey, we're going to go down to a park and do some evangelism, and that is our, you know, it's on the other side of town. That's our mission event. Mm-hmm. That's okay. But I think there are so many opportunities around and partnerships available, needs that have been identified, yeah. that they're inviting even teenagers to come and be a part of meeting.
Yeah.
Or if you're going to go cross town, at least know the name of the church that's close yeah. to cross streets. Like, yeah. like point some people somewhere. That's yeah. one of the biggest things is if you're going to share the gospel with somebody, get them to a place where they can grow in maturity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, I think we're about out of time on this one.
No, I have so many stories. No, I'm totally kidding.
Well, I do have stories, and I would love to share stories.
Yeah, yeah.
So I will, just because you mentioned it. Taking a teenager overseas in the airport.
Are you the teenager?
No, I'm not the teenager. Oh, okay, no, good. I did go on overseas trips as a teenager, and that did shape a lot of how I see missions. But
did you get lost? Did you need a backpack with a leash on it? Is that this where this story is going? I hope that's where this story is going.
I took a student through the airport, right? Mm. And we're in another country. And as we're going through security, they check my M&Ms. Every time I travel with peanut butter M&Ms, they always check my M&Ms. I don't know why. They swab it.
You know you can buy them on the other side of security,
it's
right?
so much more expensive. What? Not worth it.
Okay. So, is getting so swabbed every time worth it?
This student who's with me, standing there, we're probably 5 feet from TSA. And he goes, what? Do they think you have a bunch of little bombs in there or something? Yeah, yeah. So, like, there are always, I think, the moral of that story for me is there are always going to be things that you can't plan for and hiccups. Can't expect. Yep. Hiccups, yep.
We've had a van try to kill us.
Yeah.
I mean, there's always something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've gone, and the project we were going to do completely fell apart, and we couldn't do it at all, and we had to figure out other stuff to do the whole time. So there's just always unexpected. So being fluid, you know, having done all of the prep work, doing everything you possibly can, having all the good policy and procedure in place, having the best partnership available that makes sense for you, and then also being prepared for things to change.
Something's going to happen. Something different. Yeah. I don't think I've ever been on a trip where something hasn't happened that was completely out of the ordinary and not what we expected. Sometimes in great ways, sometimes in horrible ways, but like I've just associated that with mission trips at this point. Something's going to happen. I would probably vet students a little bit more so that no one says that there's a bomb in the airport. I had to remind all our kids last year that, like, when we cross the border, everybody needs to be awake and everybody needs to shut up. And we're like one car behind, you know, the first person in line to cross into Mexico. And everyone just starts talking, and I hear a handful of people talk about like the knives they brought and the guns and how they are going to start tapping on the window saying they're kidnapped. And I'm like, I'm going to prison. I'm going to be stuck in Mexico. They're all going to go have fun on the beach, and I'm stuck here. And there's going to be a headline on like Baptist Press. It's like youth minister arrested in Mexico awaiting, you know, somebody to come save him. It's like been 4 years or something. I was terrified. So yeah, maybe talk with your students beforehand. Little tangent. I know we need to end the episode, but man, there's so many things have gone wrong. I have so many stories of bad things happening.
Yeah. Yeah. You do all that you can, and then you prepare for the unexpected. Yeah. And just last thing as we close here, one of the reasons why you hear the statistics of people who are involved in missions when they're young catch a passion and a vision for it that lasts the rest of their life. You know, and that's why I think it's so particularly important for youth ministers to have a burden for helping their students learn about it, be educated about it, know about it, and then also have opportunities to experience it to some degree.
Yeah.
Because it's in them learning and understanding and being a part of it that they're going to catch a vision for the rest of the life of their lives. What does it mean for me to always be a part of the Great Commission? What does it look for me to always be a part of people getting to hear about Jesus? You know, the IMBs thing is you pray, you give, you go or you send. Mm-hmm. You know, you are called to be a part of missions in some way.
Yep.
And so if we can help them understand that as teenagers, and that's something they carry on the rest of their lives, missions is now a priority for them and for how they spend their time and money.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for joining us for another episode. Again, sorry for the break we've had, but it's good to be back, and we look forward to seeing y'all again soon. So
we're not going to see you. This is a podcast.
Bye.
Please leave that part in.